You're listening to the War Machine and Hordes UK and Ireland Super Series podcast. Welcome to the War Machine and Hordes UK and Ireland Super Series podcast. And I'm surprised I actually said that first time around because it's been a while since I've had that tongue twister. This is Chris here, and today we have a new host on the cast. So we have John Williams, also known as Barry. So say hello, Barry.
Hello.
So do you want to do the, everyone I'm sure has already been annoyed by my voice. So do you want to give a bit of an intro, let everybody know who you are if they don't already?
Yeah, of course. I'm Barry, frequently referred to as T.O. Barry. Basically from the Midlands here in Stafford. I got into War Machine about, 2 years ago now? 2.5 years ago now. And started out playing War Machine, tried to get competitive and realized it was a lot more work than I could put in. And instead decided, you know what, I can help around the club with like people who have like rules questions. I like getting into the rules of the game. I'm that sort of person.
Those who can't teach.
Yeah, basically. So I thought, oh, I'll get into like, I'll dig into the rules, get used to those. And I got fairly competent with the rules, and people started instead of like, what used to happen was like at the club, you'd have people like playing games and someone would turn around to the next table and say, how does this work? And then the next table would go up to the table next to them and be like, does anyone know how this works? And it'd like just rattle along until you end up with all the tables going, oh, I don't know. Whereas now it's just everyone just goes, Barry, how does this work?
I know that feeling well.
It's both the joy and pain of being a rules person, isn't it?
It is indeed. And you may have, on an earlier episode, we did give you a bit of a shout out because you were, you and Jason were the heroes of BonesCon 2017, having to run multiple events with no laptop. So that I'm sure that must be the pinnacle of your TO powers being brought to fold there.
Yeah, that is the current, the height of T.O. Barry, where he's doing that. I felt so bad. Jason was ill on the Saturday as well, so he was there trying to do his, just his thing, and he was feeling really unwell. So I was trying to, do as much as I could to not bother him. So it was quite frantic, but we got through, and everything went really well. So pretty proud of that, actually. I'm pretty proud of that.
And you should be, sir. You should be. And so that's Barry for you. So if you have any questions about War Machine, feel free to hit him up and tag him on Facebook. I'm sure he'd be happy to help.
It's the club night now. I'm half expecting to get a phone call or a message saying how does this work?
To be fair, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Strangely enough, I get that as well. We get in our group chat when someone says, How does Knockdown work? And you're like, there's literally on War Room, there is an app, which I'm about to look at to make sure that I'm correct. And in the time that you know, I've looked at it, you could have looked at it too, but it's just quicker because they know that you'll answer it. So, right. So just to give a bit of an update as well. So there's been obviously a while since we've had an episode, and unfortunately it is the problem with when you have a volunteer workforce that we do this for the love, and myself and Toby have both had little girls. And I also just happened to move and was without internet for quite a while. So unfortunately that was the cause for the delay. And also James is still here. Hopefully we'll still hear from him. It's just as mentioned, coordinating everything is a pain in the behind. But we're hopefully going to start kicking things back off again and get you out some content. So if you like the sound of our smooth voices. So UKIS itself, that's actually coming to towards the end of the qualifiers now. I think we've got one more qualifier in the Northwest on Saturday, which both me and Barry will be arm wrestling for, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, we'll fight to the death at the top table, I'm sure.
Indeed. Only wearing mankinis as the sacred law applies. But I mean, to be fair, we, as much as we joke that we'll both be there, I more expect to be fighting down the bottom of those tables, because as expected, once you get to the point where there's only two spots available, there's been definitely a shark tank forming there. We've got multiple England team players coming up from London, of all places, all the way up to the northwest, to try and steal a spot from us. So for me, that kind of is a win, because that's what we said when we first started, that what we wanted to do was to actually get all the metas to mix, get people playing people that they've not seen, you know, maybe not seen before. So if now one of our locals, and we have got a guy who's coming down, it's probably like his, I think it's his second event, so he's going to get to play, you know, against these top class people, and he's going to get to see the game as, you know, hopefully, you know, as it should be played, and learn loads, which, you know, it's exactly what we're after, unless he plays Barry, obviously, and then, you know,
he'll learn nothing.
or unless he plays me again, and then, you know, I'm sure it'll be like, come here, and end up playing the same guy. So yeah, so that's going to be the end of the Northwest. We've already got Northeast is full, Midlands is full, so yeah, Wales is already done, and we've got those qualifiers. There's a bunch of national qualifiers as well. Just to make everyone aware, it is working slightly differently. So if you're in a regional qualifier for your area, make sure that your, you know, your TO is keeping you informed, keeping you the details. For example, I'm coordinating Northwest, so I'm just sending out invites to the specific people, because obviously you can't just sell the events publicly, because then non-qualifiers will buy the tickets. And then for the people that qualify to the finals, we'll be doing the same thing. So we'll be setting up a group, an event group, and then we'll just be inviting people in to purchase tickets, and then running them. We intend to get everything ran through tiebreak, so if you want to follow along, you can follow along these events from home if you want to see how it's all going. And the finals themselves will be held on Element Games on the 17th to and 18th of November. So you might see Barry there.
You might indeed.
So there's been some definite ups and downs. I mean, how have you seen, actually this is a good time to ask, so how have you seen UKIS from, because you've obviously been involved recently, there was a mystery secret episode that never got released, I believe, but you know, you've just come into the other side of UKIS, actually like trying to help out and get things organized. So how has it been from your perspective as a, you know, as just a person that playing in it and seeing it for the first time?
But you say playing, I've been to one qualifier actually playing, and that was up in Sheffield. I remember getting up early, it was definitely Sheffield. And that was really good to play, because I've never met about probably over half the people there I'd never met. So it was really good to sort of meet people. I'd met, like, I think I'd gone with a club mate, and there were two other people there I knew. But other than that, yeah, loads of people I'd never met before. So that was really good, just to sort of, you know, hellos and meet people, because that's always nice. And we, because I've run a couple of the, I ran the Power Fist qualifier, the one in Stafford, and we got loads of people to that who, like, who I'd seen around but never like directly talked to and stuff, and loads of people came to that, like not just people from Stafford or people from the Midlands at all. There were people came from all over, so it was really nice to see like the whole like the integration thing working. It's really good.
Well, that's good, because I mean, that as much as people, and I know people get very excited over the idea of having, you know, their kind of like regional champion, you know, the best person from their area, that wasn't kind of the goal. I mean, if it turns out that that's the case, then that's great, but what we, the goal of it was to make sure that, you know, we didn't just end up having all these pockets of clubs that would just glare at each other and never mix. So to hear that, it's obviously because the Northwest has been great, we've had loads of club integration. In fact, we had a new club that kind of we weren't aware of, like joined in and ran two events, and everyone's been mixing together, which has been great. And to the fact that you're saying that, you know, you've been to an event outside your, you know, your area, and then people from outside the area have been coming to you, I mean, that's it, that's the, you know, the gold stamp for us to say, you know, Even if none of these people qualified, it doesn't matter. The fact that they were there and they mixed means that it's been a success for us so far. So,
You'll be especially pleased to hear then that we've had people from as far as York come, and we had some people from York and Wales come to an event that wasn't even a UKIS qualifier. They just came to one of the events I organised like fairly recently.
Oh, brilliant! And do you think? I mean, do you think that's on the back of the fact that they've been before, or they're just aware?
Yeah, I think it's off the back that they're aware of the club and they've been to the qualifiers and they've just seen how we do stuff and they want to get it helped. It also helped that it was, I think, the weekend before Welsh, or like 2 weekends before it. So there was a little bit of also get some practice in last minute. But yeah, I definitely think like the knowledge of the club itself was from the UKIS stuff.
Good stuff. So, I mean, let us know, guys. We're getting to that point now where it's kind of now brass tacks. So these people are, you know, they're qualified. So it's going to start reaching the point where we're finding the victors, we're getting the national qualifiers, and we're going to get the national event ran and hopefully televised for you guys. You can watch it on Twitch or YouTube or except those kind of things. But just, you know, for us, that's kind of like the nice cream at the end. The bulk of what we're trying to do has been up to this point where hopefully everyone from brand new people to, you know, your national team people all mixing together, all going, you know, traveling around. And so you get into play, you know, against these people that you may not have ever seen before, or you might have been to, like, because I always made the analogy that that Mike Dick, like I always say, and he calls me out to this all the time, but I always say that I beat Mike Dick the first time I met him because he was brand new. Now I never play against Mike Dick anymore because he's a good player and therefore he wins his games. So he always flies up the tables. So unless I just happen to randomly play him in the first round of these big events, I'll probably never play him again because he's just better at me at the game. So the fact that now you can go to these smaller events and actually still get to play against these kind of good players means that you're all going to get better and you're going to see all these things that, you know, you just hear about on the internet, but you actually now get to actually see them. So brilliant. Absolutely chuffed. So that's the UKIS side. That's all the events. So as I said, all the regionals going on and coming up. Everything, I believe, now is sold out. So basically, if you're in, you're in. And it'll just be a case of watching the events as they go through and seeing who is there. You can obviously root for your region if you want to get them, into the finals and root, get behind the guys that are representing your region if they made it. But we just thought we'd come back and have a quick chat and just have a discuss on the War Machine as a whole. So because I've been yabbering on as I normally do, so I'll let Barry take over for a minute. So what are you thinking this year as War Machine as a whole? How have you seen that? Because we're now in July, come towards the end of July. How have you seen the first half of War Machine go?
This year it's been really good. I only started 2 years ago, so I've got a little bit of a newer outlook on the game, I suppose. I mean, I played about 5 games of Mark II, and then I was immediately into Mark III, which we're in year 2 of now, I think, already. Indeed. This would be like just starting the third year of Mark III. But yeah, I've seen Grimkin winning Lock and Load. That was like from the new the new faction going up through the table. That was quite cool. I don't think it's because they're too strong either. I think it's just because they're piloted by a good player. And then we got Crucible Guard coming. I've seen a little bit of them at the was it the team champs last was that last weekend? Yeah. They look very cool, I have to say. They look very cool.
Have you seen the, there's like someone in America, I believe, is doing like resin smoke to attach?
Yes, I've seen those, the smoke bases. They look really cool for the rocket dudes. They look very cool. I think we're in a good place. I think it seems to me that there are a lot more small events going on through the year than I saw last year, which is obviously really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's been the weird thing that we've seen, that the bigger events, with the exception of the Welsh, which just was, you know, insane, the amount of people there, like the bigger events have kind of had like smaller attendance. And I don't know whether that's sort of like the the group, or if just the overall player base is down. But if the player base was down, you'd expect the Welsh not to be able to get the amount of people. So yeah, it's been a bit weird, but definitely one of the things, and I suppose it's, you know, obviously testament to other events, not just, I won't just say it's UKIS, but it's the kind of like the fact that UKIS has come in, the fact that, I mean, one of the things you'll see is that a name that I remember from when I started, Billy Cruikshanks from Scotland. He was, he used to play when I first started, and he stopped playing. I think he went off to play one of the other games, but he's now actually a qualifier for Scotland. So we're kind of seeing these people coming back that went away, and they've sort of coming back, and then you've got, you know, all these new people coming in, and you've got all these small events constantly coming in. So yeah, I think it's a good time if you just like your, like you said, like your local events. If you can, I'm pretty sure you can get an event pretty much every weekend if you're willing to travel around the country. So
absolutely, yeah. There's so much going on. I mean, we throw one a month. I'm sure other clubs throw one a month, and I mean, there's like two of the four weekends in a month already. Already there's an event on, and there'll be all the ones just going on, and just whatever you like. But I mean, you put your own on if you really want to. It's not too tricky to do.
Oh, it's dead simple. I mean, one of the things that I was thinking of doing for next year is to just send out, because one of the things that I started off when people talk about, like, you know, setting up steamrollers and stuff like that, is just the way that we do the local steamrollers is we kind of, it's to incentivize the other sides of the hobby, not just the playing, which can sometimes put off the newer players. So I'll put that together as part of the pack, as like a suggested. Obviously it's not enforced, you can do what you want locally, but you know, we found that it's helped get the people that are coming in for the first time to actually potentially win, you know, a good, they actually got a better chance of winning the prizes than the people who just win the event. So because obviously if you're, you know, been playing the game for ages, you know, you've already got your two lists that you're set with for the year. You're not really going to need an extra, you know, 20 quid in store credit, are you? Whereas the new guy who's just got his first list together, more chance of them actually, you know, needing the credits. So it seems to have gone down well and helped people. So yeah, that's been really good. That's another point. The team event. So both of us were at the team event. That was something I remember. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were in the original chat for that when that was being sort of bandied about as to whether it, you know, would go on or not, and whether there'd be interest for it or not.
Yeah, I think so. I certainly remember seeing, like, when it was first coming about, thinking, oh yeah, I'd be interested. And then I mean, we're always interested, and like we're big on War Machine here in Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, like when they first did it, there was a bit of a, oh, could we get it together, would there be enough people, would there be enough teams. I mean, that got together 16 five-man teams, there's 80 people. Yeah, and that's not even just 80 people for a singles event where you could just, anyone can turn up. That's 16.
Yeah, it's organized
teams.
People.
Yeah, which is insane. So the people are there, bizarrely. It's just, as I said, so it's just this kind of, and that was an amazing event, by the way. If you didn't get a chance to go, I would definitely get in touch with Adam Court and Chris Ferguson, with the two guys who ran it, and just say to them that obviously it was amazing. You want to go next year? Can they up it to 32 men?
Yes.
And if you get enough people together that they can do that, then that would be amazing. But it was a really good event, really, you know, really well ran. So yeah, we were well chuffed with that. The only
there was some excellent judging on the Saturday, I will say.
Literally, there is only one complaint that I have to make about the event, was that two of our team, one of them being me, were on a diet at the moment. And they gave out the sandwiches, they gave out like a platter full of food, and it was like the nicest platter ever. It had like sausage rolls, pork pies, sandwiches, everything, and I just kind of sat there and was just cried to myself not being able to eat those gorgeous looking sausage rolls. So
they were, I felt really bad. They had planned for players to eat, and they had not quite realized that the TOs, like the guys themselves, thought to themselves, we didn't organize one for us, did we? And I felt so bad, because I was able to go to all the other people from like from the Midlands and the club, and just go, you got any spare? And
we had loads spare, because yeah, two of us couldn't. We had the brown bread, ham butties that were on there, and we had some of the quiche. Oh, the quiche was gorgeous as well.
The quiche was good.
So, I mean, look at that. Like, I mean, where what event do you go to, and the first thing someone brings up is how good the food was.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's good. It is really good. The way that people are willing to put on more events, and I think pushing pushing the boundaries with events as well, it's really good. I think it's really healthy for the game.
Definitely. So anyway, on to so that's the event side. We think as a meta as a whole, I think it's really good. You know, everyone seems to be, you know, doing a bit more. Even if we say traveling, like I was surprised to see some of the London guys come up to the Northwest, which is, you know, I'm not saying that's not welcome, that's amazing, but normally just the fact that now we have people traveling around the regions more, we've got people, you know, traveling to the Midlands guys traveling here, people going up to York and vice versa. So that's, like, you know, really good that that's all going on. What do you think of the game at the moment? The actual, less of the meta, but how's the actual game looking for you? Are you thinking it's in a good place? Are you thinking it's all looking a bit crazy?
I think it's good. I think there's a lot of there are a lot of models, like even that I've looked at in the past and gone, oh, like these guys are terrible. I mean, like Constance Blaze is like one I'm looking at the minute, and I looked at her like about 6 months ago, and I was like, she's just like rubbish. I don't see the draw in it. And then I was watching Lock and Load, and she was in the quarterfinals, and you know, and like I think it's very easy to put models down because they're not, like, they don't look very good, and then someone will find like the key to it, and suddenly I unlock this big like crazy list that just work. And I think it's really good that you can still do that even like 2 years into the new edition, and there are still like combos people haven't figured out. And then you have the odd outliers, I'm going to air quotes this, spam lists, you know, the Nine Slayers sort of thing, and the Jack Bricks and stuff. But I don't think they're particularly bad, or like even particularly like outrageously strong. I think everything's actually really well balanced right now. And the CID is really helping with that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if you, people, I've been playing a bit of the other, you know, game systems at the moment, because I get to paint pretty dinosaurs. But if you want to see how well balanced War Machine is, literally just go play any game made by the Evil Games Workshop. Because that stuff is insane. They can't even get the English right in it, which is the mad part. When you read a sentence from an English company and the sentence makes no sense, you're there going, how are the Americans making it clear? And the English are struggling. The English are actually struggling with English. Yeah, it's very bizarre. But on the meta front, like you were saying, I actually think this is one of the things we used to discuss ages ago, that we used to say that like everything was good, it just needed the right situation, you know. So you might say bombardiers used to be, you know, pretty bad, but you'd say, but if, you know, there was lots of, you know, a certain type of unit around, then actually they'd be pretty good because they would be effective at killing that kind of unit or that kind of model. And I think we're actually getting to the point now where that's not just being nice to new people, that's actually true. You know, we're getting to the point with CID where stuff is actually at the point where, you know, it's, you might go, yeah, but this is better or this is more efficient. But I don't know, do you listen to many other casts yourself?
A couple, not very often. I'm usually busy with like work and just all the bits I'm doing.
Fair enough. I've heard, and now I don't play Pokemon, but I've heard a lot of people coming up with this pivot and sweeper thing.
Yes, I've heard bits of this as well.
Okay, now the concept behind itself is kind of self-infatuating, so I'm not going to go too much into it, but one of the conversations that was on the back of that, because it's however you want to analyze the list is how you analyze the list, but, you know, one of the conversations that one of the guys said off it was that he, from the conversations he was having with it, actually took models that were less efficient because it would give him something that he might need. So I think he was talking about it was like a Menoth Jack, and he was saying about how he would never have taken this Jack before, because if you want something that's expensive and does cool rules, there's loads of those. If he wants something that was cheap to hit things, he's got much better options for those. So this Jack was like in the middle, but it actually had you know, some tools to do with, I think it's like souls and incorporeal or something.
Oh yes, it's the one that begins, it's the one that I can never remember the name of.
Yeah, there's so many jacks for them. So he said that actually, there's just enough stuff around that even if there isn't incorporeal stuff in there, that he still was able to, with other things he put in, be able to fuel it for free. So that meant that he could, it became not as effective, but it still gave him some options. And then he was doing the same with other units, like units that he'd never normally take. He was kind of going, actually, they're not as efficient as that, but they'll actually, give me in this scenario. I can see that in this scenario that I need, I might need Pathfinder, or I might need something just to, clock
Yeah, I might
in.
need a X tool to deal with X problem.
Yeah, or they might be awful, but they're actually one speed faster. And then that one speed faster means that when I run them on turn two, they actually reach the further zone.
Yes,
So,
rather than being sat too short and looking
yeah,
sad.
they're actually like the other unit is like a better unit. It's got better stats. It kills more stuff. It's got all the stuff. But actually, it was like, no, the important stat on this one is the fact that it's got one more speed, which means that it actually gets into the zone as opposed to not into the zone. And I was just like going, brilliant. Like that's it. Like one of the best quotes I ever got was in. I think it was the Steam Storm or wherever it is from Will Pagani. We were talking to Will, and it was the old Cador versus Haley thing. And he said that, well, I'm ad-libbing, but he said something along the lines of people need to use the tools they need to use to win, not the tools they want to use to win.
Yeah.
And it took me a little while to kind of like get grasp around it, but one of the things that came up was, what's it called? What are they called? Cossack Woodsmen.
Yeah, Woodsman.
Cador, and everyone hates them. They are like awful. They are pretty awful. But in the certain scenarios where you would just lose, like the best list in Cador would just lose straight away because it would get jammed out, and even all its jacks and stuff like that would get jammed out of scenario and it just lose on scenario. But actually, what they found was if you just took one unit and all that unit had to do was to run in from the side, then die, but it would just run in from the side.
Delay the game, say a turn because of the scenario pressure, and then you actually get your chance to go in and do your stuff.
Yeah, and that one turn more meant that actually now your jacks got actually to trample to the point where they're in the zone, which therefore meant that you actually could play the game from that point onwards. And it was there going, so basically you're buying these points to have a unit die. And it's like, yes, but they die a turn that I need them to die on and to make everything else survive for one more turn. And it's like that, to me, is what CID has done. It's kind of brought in, like you said, with Constance Blaze, being in the quarterfinals, it's because when he's played that list, he's gone, right, you in a straight up one-on-one fight are awful. On a straight up, if we compare, every caster in a line, you're way down the end. But actually, in this scenario, with this list, against these opponents that I expect to see, you actually go further up. And then you've also got like Dark Horse effect where people might not know because they
Yeah,
might go.
oh, I don't know how to actually play against that because I've never seen it before.
Yeah,
And
I mean,
yeah.
it's like you were saying with the Slayers. Like I've seen so many Slayers armies die, and it's because everyone goes, "Ooh, Slayers, they're the thing to beat," and so they make sure that in their pairing that Slayers are the things to beat. And I noticed that Crix players have started going, "Actually, you know what's better than Slayers is probably like Scar One, going back to the old Scar One." And being that kind of like, Cav and what the other,
Stalkers, things like that.
yeah,
Yeah.
because they're faster, or they're pretty much as fast, if not faster, and they are as tough for that turn they need to be, and they hit as hard for when they need to be. But because they're, you're not got this whole weaknesses of Jax, and you've got things like Ghostly mixed in and all this kind of, and the leaps and all this kind of stuff, it's like just pushing people out of zones. Like you'll see it where the Slayers try to attack, but because there's only nine models, they can't keep you out of zones.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is put like 10 well-spaced models in a zone, and suddenly they can't empty that zone.
Yeah, exactly. And whereas against that other list, it's like it's this wall of people that comes at you as quickly, and then you and it's all got leaps and ghostly and stuff, so it like slinks past you. So again, you could go, oh well, Slayers hits harder, it's more focus efficient, blah blah blah. But actually, what they've done is gone, well, in the way that the scenario pack works, this is actually a better list to use. So
So.
yeah, that's what I love about War Machine. Now there is no sort of best list.
Yeah, there's no like play this or don't be competitive. There doesn't seem to be any of that. There seems to be a good deal of like you can play you can play anything and still be pretty competitive, and that's really nice. I think it keeps the meta, the way that the CID and the scenario packs work, and the way they come through, and they'll just shake everything up, and then like you'll end up with a new like not flavor of the month, but like a new, oh, this might be good now we've had some changes to the models, and so a whole different flood of lists comes through, and it just like changes the face of the meta again, and you get the whole like just the like a rotation, was like the way it just gets shaken up every few months.
Yeah, actually, that was a good conversation I had at the team event, was Mirage, which, if you guys like me at the moment, and I'm not, I get about, if it's not an event, I get about one game a month because of the wee baba. But Mirage, I've not had a chance to play. That scenario is the perfect example of what I was talking about, because now there's no jack scoring, there's two circle zones, three flags, and it's a very central based scenario. That means it's very fast, because you can potentially, you know, score like 5 points on one turn.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 because the objective, yeah.
Because the objective, yeah. So you can score 6 points on one turn, which actually means you could end up a point, you could be a point behind, wipe the opponent, and still win on scenario. So what was happening, and this is exactly what happened to me, is that I got shoved out of the zone, couldn't contest, and then therefore just lost. And you tend to find that a lot of the stories that you got from people were where, and I was actually walking down the line, and I was saying to people, I said, you went first, didn't you? And they said, yeah. And I said, you went first, didn't you?
We did that. The TO, Adam Court and I went down going, did you go first? Did you go second? Did you go first? Did you go first? And you could tell.
Yeah. And the reason was, and this is the thing, it's exactly what we were saying, is that everyone was using lists for 2017 for this new 2018 list. So now, it's, you know, you get these lists where, and a perfect example was this. I was talking to Dan Price, who's a Legion player, and I said to him, you know, what did you go first or second? And he said, I went second, but I've got Hellmouths, and he had what else did he have? Like, he had all these fast things. So actually what happened was the line of engagement hit his Hellmouths, which allowed the rest of his army to catch up. So actually that meant the line of engagement was still, even though he was second, on the other side of the table, which therefore meant I think he actually won that.
He did. He won every game that weekend, actually.
There you go. So basically what's happened is he's taken his list. Now, I don't know, Dan can probably, you know, comment if he's listening, as to whether this was his planner initially, or it was just a lucky thing that kind of list was suitable. But what we need to do now as players is not go, you know, wow, 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 Mirage is terrible, you know, Mirage is horrible, is to kind of go, no, it's a new game, it's a shaken up, you know, now you're going to look at those things that were faster but maybe not as efficient at killing things, and go, do I need those? Are they good? You know, are they now good because they're going to keep me in the game for a few turns longer?
Yeah, are they going to stop me losing? In which case, they're way better than if you had something that just makes you lose.
Yeah, like there was, I mean, this is the fun thing I always say. People always talk about theme machine and how they hate theme lists because, you know, everyone gets the same list when they have themes. I've never seen it. Even like, I think Jack Spam is probably the closest you get to the same list. And even Haley 3, and I love this when you see different Haley 3 players, and they all say about how different Haley 3 lists are better because they have different jack packages or different units and stuff like that. But one of the things I did see was that people were now saying that definitely the Alexia version is better, and that's because she can produce solos every turn, which can run and contest and run and take flags and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's I suppose that's one thing that's like moving that way. So maybe if you could take Alexia, that's a good idea. If you've got things like Prime Axiom, who can create solos so they can run onto flags.
Whelps and trolls are always always upsetting for your opponent.
Oh god, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Just
things like the Mountain King specifically, because that makes endless whelps.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I mean. It's, you know, it's,
yeah, units with ambush I think are gonna be going big.
Yeah. So your murder crews with themes that allow ambush.
Yeah. Maybe even, and I'm not saying this because I've got a unit, Cossack Woodsman.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the thing, you know, if you're there going, right, I know for a fact that my it's Jaws of the Wolf list, my Jacks aren't going to make it to their zone because you need to stop them from scoring, so they're not going to reach that. Literally, you can measure it through if you end up going second, your 10 inches on, you get to run the 3 turns. Are you in their zone? No. So you need to be able to, you know, or in 2 turns, have you reached it? No. So you need to be able to get there in 3 turns. A, do you swap out and go for, you know, something like a Kodiak that's faster or might get you in there, or, you know, maybe something, you know, a different thing that's faster, or do you go for the Cossack Woodman, which you know will guarantee get you in, they'll run into the zone, they'll contest, which means that your opponent won't get that point, and therefore you will make it on turn three. You know, it's these are the kind of questions that make it all interesting now, and I still think that, you know, because we're only just into the 2018 pack, that answer's not been answered yet, so it should be quite interesting.
It should be. It should be. I started out not liking Mirage. I'm still not sure I like it, but I don't think it's bad. I think I just don't like it because I don't have experience with it.
And that is where I am as well. I'm very much on the, like, because I used to be like Linebreaker was the one prior. People would always be like, oh, you know, Linebreaker, it's a non game, it's a non, you know, it's a non-scenario. But some when you saw two people that were aware of how Linebreaker worked and wanted to and built their army around it, it was one of the like the livest scenarios ever, because people would be like, okay, so if I charge down one flank and I have, you know, pieces that move your stuff around, then I can score very quickly. Whereas two people were just that just kind of gave up on it. They would just sit in their zones either side and, you know, just contest and all this kind of stuff. It just, you know, it was just a very much a dead scenario in that regard. So yeah, it was a bit weird. So yeah, so I look forward to seeing what it does to the meta, what Crucible Guard do to the last half of the year. Although they're not coming out till sort of end of the year, are they? All their stuff.
No, I think it's just the army boxes are available in America, I believe, like the starting ones, but I don't know about the
Think they get
rest
them
of their stuff.
here. I think the releases have started here. I know definitely Locke's out because I've got Locke for Convergence.
Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful model, I've got to say. She's great. But yeah, so that was a bit of a ramble on how we see War Machine. So basically, in summary, we think the meta is doing great because everyone's moving around and playing each other. And then from a game perspective, we think it's great because everything's moving around for when we play each other. Seems to be the summary.
Yeah. Yeah,
So, so.
the table keeps shifting, so we end up with learning more, I find. And yeah, more learning is always good.
Oh, definitely. And you mentioned then that you played a bit at the end of Mark II. The thing that I love, which you might have seen a bit of in comparison to Mark III now, is that when I would go to an event in Mark II, where, you know, theme machine wasn't a thing, supposedly, I would know exactly what people were taking because everyone had the same list. Everyone it'd been going that long that, you know, the perfect list for the things distilled down. You know, so the Hayley's lists were all the same. You had your Calandra lists, your runes, your, you know, all these various lists that are just kind of gone, this is the most efficient, and they have the characters in there and all this kind of thing. So now the fact that, you know, you get to the point where, you know, someone goes, oh, this model's now released for that theme, and then suddenly that gets turned on its head, or, you know, the retribution lists in CID at the moment, because they're swapping stuff around, means that we're actually, instead of just seeing defenders all the time, we're probably going to see another list, of which means the thing that you'd normally drop into retribution might not actually work anymore.
Yeah, by the way, I mean Primal Terrors is doing it now, or certainly locally for us. Primal Terrors is, I think, changing up people's game plan
Oh, definitely.
for the Legion matchup.
If they want to get rid of Hellmouths, Privateer, if you're listening, that we won't mind. I know a couple of Legion players will be a bit sad, but it's fine. We'll happily, you know, take that.
We'll sacrifice some sad Legion players if it means Hellmouths are gone.
Yes. I'd almost forgotten how annoying they are.
Yeah, at the start of Mark III, before themes came out, at the start of Mark III, locally people were using them quite a lot. So I got used to getting rid of them, and then when they'd gone, like when they'd sort of phased out of play, I got complacent. And then you play against the knight, you're like, what am I supposed to do against these again? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. But, okay, so kind of had a nice ramble. So just to let you guys know, this the UKISC podcast itself will hopefully get this back up onto a two-weekly schedule. We've got Barry here, myself, and then hopefully James, maybe Toby if we can, maybe Rich if we can drag him off his CrossFit frenzy that he's currently on. If you see him, he looks like half the man he was, because he is actually now probably half the man he was. And now replacing it all with muscle, so he's gone a bit crazy. These crazy CrossFit in vegans. The 1 ounce of renown, I need to get back in touch with people regarding. I did get a list of people that wanted to come on and talk about lists. There's about 20 names I've got on there. So I just need to get back in touch with people and hopefully start recording again. So we'll hopefully get this back onto a regular rota. But just want to say thanks to Barry for stepping in. As I said, this is all volunteer. Ran. It's not, none of us are getting paid for it. We do it because we love the game and we love the community. And by the way, on that note, I don't know, you know Dan Jones, don't you?
I don't think I've I might have seen him but never met.
Yeah, one of the Welsh guys, and he's absolutely amazing. And just to show you how much I love this community and stuff, like, he didn't, I knew him, but I didn't really know him. Yeah, we knew each other events and stuff like that, but there was a time when me and my wife were, you know, having some difficulties and stuff, and he just sent me a nice message just to say, look, you know, we've had, you know, I've been through it myself, don't worry, you know, and just really comforting. And this is a guy just who I've only known through War Machine, and he sent it to my wife as well, and it was really nice, and it was in the right, you know, it was what we needed to hear at the time. And then him and his wife have had some issues recently, and obviously, if you know him, you'll be aware. But myself, Martin Jenkins on the Welsh feed, and a bunch of other people have basically put up, it's like a donate thing, because he's having to take time out of work to look after his family. And because he's so new at his work, they're not giving him sick leave. But he had like a goal, which was to help cover, you know, help feed his family while this is, you know, terrible things going on. They absolutely smashed that goal, and I have no doubt that the getting the War Machine community involved was helped to that, because we have like a really, really good community. And if you helped out, I just want to say thank you very much. And I'm sure Dan has said thank you as well. But you know, even if you didn't, because not everyone can afford to send out, just be aware the kind of community you're in is that kind of really good community. And this is the reason why people will give up their free time to help out everyone. So, you know, that
just... Yeah, just to add a little bit to that. When I started War Machine, I was in a rather rough place mentally. And since meeting, I got pulled so far out of my shell by the War Machine community in general. Like, everyone has been, like, everyone, I have never met anyone playing War Machine who has been unpleasant.
It's okay, you'll meet me on Saturday. Sorry. But yeah, I mean, just as I said, you know, this is the reason why we do it. We apologize if you guys have been, you know, missing the cast and wanting us to get back on, but thank you very much for bearing with us, and hopefully we'll get back on track with everything. And as I said, thank you very much to everyone who's been to an event. As you know, without you guys actually playing in it, it could be a completely pointless task. So yeah, it's been,
it's just us standing in a room for like 8 hours otherwise, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Or me and Richard, the guys, would have just been like, this is a great thing, we think it's great, and then no one would have been, and no one would have gone anywhere, and you know, it would have just been like a couple of us in a room at the end going, yay, the finals. So anyway, we will cut that there, because as I say, we've had a good ramble, and hopefully you've enjoyed our rambling and enjoyed Barry's rambling too.
I love to ramble anyway.
So thank you very much for listening. As I say, stay tuned, we'll hopefully get more out. So goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.